2.5 million refugees and internally displaced persons have returned to their homes in Afghanistan. That's more than three times as many people as the United Nations expected during the first year after the war.
The head of the United Nations Development Programs Task Force on Afghanistan says donations to rebuild the country have come in above expectations. But David Lockwood told Common Ground's Cliff Brockman, after 20-plus years of war and occupation, Afghanistan still has a long road to recovery.
We're about, 1 year and a little bit into what you might call the recovery process. And obviously there are many accomplishments during the last year. Whether these have met either the expectations of the Afghan people themselves or the government of Afghanistan or indeed the donor community is the big question. I think it's true to say that the Afghan people themselves are still frustrated that not enough help has arrived. And it's a nation of over 20 million people, and it's clear that while some assistance has received some attention in some quarters and has reached some people, there are large areas of the country who haven't yet seen the benefits accruing from that. The government itself, I think, also feels some frustration that the amount of assistance that's committed by the donor community only begins to address the massive damage that was done over 20 years. But the pledges for the first year, interestingly, were $1.7 billion, and our estimate of disbursement is about $2 billion in that first year. So the donors have more than come through with their commitment for Afghanistan. And current indications for 2003, calendar 2003, are that they're probably about the same level as 2002. So that's a very good response from the donor community. They have indeed met the commitments they made. That doesn't mean that it's enough, and it certainly doesn't rebuild a country which over 20 years had faced total devastation.
There have been some reports in the media about some increasing attacks on humanitarian aid workers in Afghanistan. What's behind that?
There are still, of course, many problems in Afghanistan, and many of them are not new. I think it's true to say that working in rural Afghanistan, looking back even over the 50-year history or so of development assistance, there have been many problems of security where there was a sort of a less-than-law-abiding population, sometimes disgruntled, always ready to take advantage of being distant from the capital. It's, I think, probably also a product of the fact that you don't yet have a functioning nationwide police force. You don't have a national army quite in place, although President Karzai has announced the formation of an army. So there are many areas in the country where the rule of law simply doesn't apply, and there are plenty of people ready to take advantage of that.
Is there anything more that can be done to protect the workers that are there?
I think the UN's abiding principle has always been that we should not travel in armed convoys. By not being armed, we certainly can probably better protect ourselves from the accusation that we have either a particular side that we support or whatever.
As you mentioned, it's been over 20 years that there's been a war going on, one form or another, in Afghanistan. What kind of effect has that had on the environment there?
The biggest effect has been illegal felling of trees. Afghanistan, until the late 70s, had substantial forests, particularly on its eastern borders and those provinces bordering Pakistan, largely due to the absence of controls of any kind. There's been a free-for-all, mostly into the market in Pakistan. Illegal logging, basically. It's very lucrative. The trees were valuable. And for communities who had little alternative income, again, it was a great temptation to find a way to survive. Another part of the problem has been fuel. It is a cold climate in the wintertime. People depend on fuel wood. And that has resulted over the last 20 years in massive destruction of areas that perhaps otherwise would not have been felled if either kerosene or other fuel sources had been available.
The Taliban eliminated poppy growing. What's happened with that since the Taliban was eliminated?
to prevent poppy being cultivated, you have to have two things in place at the same time. One is the alternative wherewithal for those who are presently deriving income from poppy, and that means livelihoods or alternative crops. And the other is a security environment to enforce it. And you need both in place at once. Some of the areas that produce poppy are difficult to access for security reasons, and until the national army is fully established and able to move freely about the country, I think it's going to be difficult for anybody to enforce the rules of not growing poppy. The government has made it very clear that the policy is to prevent the production of opium poppy. But it's not yet in a position to enforce that for all the complicated reasons of the insecurity of rural areas in Afghanistan. The income from poppy is very high, and the crops which currently can work well for farmers in Afghanistan are not very lucrative. And you can't begin to simply substitute poppy with wheat or the more common agricultural crops because the income levels simply don't compensate. Therefore, you have to provide other kinds of employment opportunities, and that means investment by the private sector in various kinds of secondary agricultural production, for example. And we're not quite there yet. So all these things have to go hand in hand. I think the private sector investment will certainly increase as the Afghan National Army is able to make itself felt so that the rule of law does reach all corners of the country, making it viable for foreigners who want to invest in Afghanistan to see a safe return of their investment.
Are there any lessons that have been learned so far? You mentioned you're just a little over a year into the recovery, but any lessons that might be applied to other post-conflict recoveries?
One of those, I think, is that as you emerge in the immediate period after conflict, there is a transitionary period of maybe up to a year where normal government, normal development business does not take place. All of the preparations for that are in place. And you have to immediately provide assistance to build a stable, peaceful environment so that people can begin to see the bonus of peace. That includes things like the salaries for civil servants. I think that the fact that salaries were paid very quickly to all civil servants throughout the country was a great signal that the international community was supporting Afghanistan. I think there isn't a civil servant in the country who doesn't accept that as having been a basic starting point. Even though the salaries are very small, the fact is that at least the salaries are being paid. And you go on then to programs like cash for work, helping either clear rubble or rebuild buildings that were destroyed and so forth as a means of putting quick cash into the local economy. These are not livelihoods. These are temporary employment opportunities, but at least it's the beginning of cash moving into the local economy.
Are you optimistic about Afghanistan's recovery?
If you ask anybody in the development business a question like that, we're all optimists. And I think you have to be. The Afghans have a tremendous inner strength. They have a pride and dignity unlike many people. I can't think of any nation which has the strength, the inner strength that they have. The international community, in a sense, had gotten them into the problems that they're in because they were at the front line of the Cold War. The Afghans are, of course, hoping and I think praying that the international community will continue to support them until they've solved some of the problems that were caused by the war. It's a long and uphill battle, but I'm sure we'll continue to provide help, which will lead the Afghans to that success of being independent, economically independent as well as politically.
David Lockwood is a deputy director for the United Nations Development Program. He is also head of the United Nations Development Program Task Force on Afghanistan. For Common Ground, I'm Cliff Brockman.